What a time to be alive. Steven Wright is the most expensive pitcher on the slate. Wow. Yeah, Mike's not happy about that. I'm not happy about it. I'm Heath Cummings. Chris is so unhappy about it that he didn't even show up today. Actually, technically, he's here. He's just so busy tweeting about Yasiel Puig and Matt Harvey that he didn't have time to come on the podcast.
Sounds about right.
And you can probably guess who his Dong Chaser pick's going to be, but we will wait just a little bit to go over that. I know what Chris would like for us to do is start with the most expensive pitchers.
Yes.
And we're not going to do that.
Give me your favorite pitcher over 10,000 today.
Any pitcher that was over 10,000 would be my favorite pitcher, but none of them are. So what we'll do is my favorite pitcher of the slate, and I think the only pitcher that I could make an argument that is actually good, is Hisashi Iwakuma.
Agree.
And he's going up against an Oakland offense that is just dreadful. Mm-hmm. He's the second biggest favorite of the day. The Athletics have the second lowest implied run total of the day. Everything's turning up Iwakuma.
Yeah, Iwakuma's definitely the cash game pitcher tonight.
Why not Steven Wright, as good as he's been?
He's not Iwakuma. He's not as good as Iwakuma, although it's a good question. I mean, the win probability is very high still.
Right.
I mean, the Red Sox are going to win this game. They should.
He's averaged 10 more fantasy points per game than Iwakuma.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel good about it.
It's 9,500 for Steven Wright. Just doesn't feel right.
Right. We talked yesterday about how the Reds are pretty, or 2 days ago, about how the Reds have been pretty good against left-handed pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So Scott Kazmir is a little bit risky, I think, at $100 more than Iwakuma.
I definitely agree with that. I don't want any part of Scott Kazmir tonight.
There's no way I'm playing Marco Estrada at Yankee Stadium. So that leaves us with no other pitchers to even consider above $7,600. And so before we get into the rest of those pitchers, what is the strategy on a day like this where there's quite literally not a good pitcher?
Take the guy with the highest win probability according to Vegas.
Yeah.
A reasonably high win probability. There's basically three guys that are 65% and above in implied win probability.
Yeah.
So I definitely think you're going to select one of those three.
So we don't worry quite as much about strikeouts or upside. We're just trying to get a guy that goes six innings and gets us a win.
Yep.
Speaking of that, Junior Guerra is 7,200 on FanDuel. And he's going against the Braves. So my argument in today's article was, if you can't have a good pitcher, at least get a good matchup.
Yes.
Guerra's shown some upside with 11 strikeouts in his last start. Gave up zero runs over six innings against the Padres, which is a nice comp for this Braves offense. What do you think the difference is in expected total and upside between Iwakuma and Guerra?
The upside is it's identical, maybe a little higher even for Guerra.
Okay.
I still think the expected total is probably 8 to 10 points higher for Iwakuma.
Okay. I think Iwakuma, I would expect to score somewhere in the 35 to 40 range on FanDuel.
Yeah.
Does that sound about right?
I think...
Is that too high?
No, I was going to give him 40 to 45.
Okay. So you're more optimistic than I am. Now, there's a guy on this slate that's averaged 39 fantasy points per start. And he is at home in a good pitcher's park. And he's facing an offense that we don't think is great. So why not Matt Andrees?
I actually kind of like Matt Andrees. I don't know. He's some of his numbers bother me a little bit.
Right.
I believe it was his xFIP of 4.79.
That's bad.
That's not good.
It's really bad. So do you like Andrees or Guerra better?
Probably Guerra.
Okay. Yeah.
The reason I like Guerra better, honestly, is I can play four Rays if I don't play Andrees.
That makes perfect sense. Now, I've got Guerra as my second favorite pitcher behind Iwakuma in the article. I want to see if your third favorite is the same as mine, or who is to be the third most owned pitcher you have tonight.
It's probably going to be Andrees just for the win probability.
Okay. I was thinking kind of a little bit different for my third pitcher. It's a guy that's not good, but he's facing an offense that I don't think is good when they're on the road, and that is Mike Foltynewicz.
Yeah, the other side of that game, yep.
I think he'll be fairly popular because guys are going to look at this slate and see that there's no good pitchers. So they're going to say, okay, I want a punt pitcher and just go cheap. Well, they're not going to play Justin Nicolino.
No chance.
He's one of the worst pitchers in baseball. They're not going to play Chad Bettis against Boston because everybody thinks Boston's amazing.
Yep.
They are.
I believe they now rank number one against both left and right-handed batters.
I don't know if people are going to have much interest in Zach Neale. So I think that leaves Foltynewicz as the guy that gets played as the punt play.
Yeah, I actually think he has quite a bit of upside. His K rate is pretty decent.
Right.
I mean, for him, it's a pretty decent K rate. A lot of his numbers look pretty good. XFIP 3.56. I believe that's the best out of any pitcher on this slate, believe it or not.
You could say that he is a poor man's Jimmy Nelson.
Yeah.
Because he has problems with the home run, and he gets lit up by left-handed batters. I was looking at this and researching earlier. Over his career, he's given up a 4.21 wOBA to lefties.
Mm-hmm.
That's 270 batters he's faced, 4.21 wOBA.
That's not good.
He's been worse this year. 4.91 wOBA. He's given up more extra base hits to lefties than he has strikeouts of lefties.
Wow.
And OPS over 1,000. Now, the one thing that makes the Brewers a good matchup is, who's their best left-handed hitter?
Scooter Gennett.
Exactly. And I think he is one of the best. I think Scooter Gennett's a contrarian play. He's been awful.
Absolutely.
He's hitting under 200 since he came off the DL.
Mm-hmm.
No extra base pop at all.
Not really. Not in that ballpark.
But I think he has doubles potential against Fulton.
Well, yeah, sure.
And the Braves don't exactly sport a couple of great catchers that are good at stopping stolen bases.
Right.
So I think Scooter's a good play. He's the only one. And I think people won't play him just because they're so excited about the bargain potential of the Braves pitcher.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else that you want a piece of tonight?
Yes. Ruby De La Rosa.
Ruby De La Rosa. I wish Chris was here because Chris actually likes Ruby.
Okay.
I do not.
Yeah.
So sell him.
So the K rate is climbing. I want to say for this year only, anyway.
Right.
His K rate's at almost 9.4 per nine innings.
That's good.
It's pretty good. So big deal here is he gets a nice park shift.
That's true.
Moving from Chase Field to PNC Park is a pretty big deal for a pitcher.
Right.
The Pirates do hit right-handed pitching very well.
Right.
Despite not being a very left-handed team.
Well, that's one of the things on our fantasy baseball podcast. Al Melchior brought up Ruby because Al likes Ruby a lot too.
Yeah.
And said all those righties in the Pirates lineup. And that's true. Ruby's better against righties, but these are really good right-handed hitters.
Yeah, they rank very well against right-handed pitching. They might only have two lefties in the lineup with Jaso and Polanco.
And Polanco is on such a tear right now.
Yeah.
Just killing the ball. But I think Ruby will be fairly, especially at 6,700.
And the thing is, in my opinion, he's a decent candidate for a win. The Diamondbacks with Goldie, Wellington Castillo, they have a couple guys that I think can hit lock pretty well.
Right.
So I do think that the Diamondbacks and De La Rosa could steal a win here.
See, I did not include Goldschmidt and the Diamondbacks in my top stacks today.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, really, I could make an argument for all 16 teams to be a stack today.
Yeah.
And there were just three that I liked more. But then when I started building lineups, I found Goldschmidt and Castillo were finding their way into a lot of my lineups.
Yeah.
Especially Goldschmidt, just because I mean, he's been a little better lately, still no extra base hits.
Yeah, he's...
But I think the ownership of Poppy and E5 is going to be so much higher than that of Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt still kills lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff Locke's been terrible against righties.
Yep.
I think Goldschmidt's a pretty good tournament play.
Oh, very good tournament play tonight. I think that he might even have equal ownership or lower ownership than Chris Davis, even.
Right.
So,
and I like Davis, too, but I like Goldschmidt better.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Who would be your top stack of the night?
Well, outside of the Red Sox, should we go out? Is that what you want to go outside of the Red Sox?
Yes. Should we just start saying, like, remember when there's games in Coors,
yep. We
say, who's your favorite player from Coors?
Yeah.
Just like before the stacks every time, we say, who's your favorite Red Sox?
David Ortiz.
One thing I will say, I looked up Chad Bettis for his whole career and this year has been a reverse splits guy. Now, he hasn't been good against lefties particularly.
Sure.
So I don't think I would stay away from them, but I wouldn't stay away from righties either.
Yeah. No, I like the entire team.
Yes.
After that, I think we're going to have the exact same, and that's going to be the Tampa Bay Rays.
Yes, that would be my second favorite.
So.
Mikey Matuk.
He's cheap.
$2,000. He has been really good against lefties this year.
Yes.
I don't know why. Like, do the Rays not realize that most pitchers are right-handed? Because they built a team full of guys that crush lefties.
Yeah. A whole team full of them.
So, I mean,
they got Corey Dickerson now.
Yeah.
He can hit a righty.
And he can't hit lefties.
No, he can't.
What do you think about playing an entire outfield of Rays?
I like it. The only thing is you're going to have to spend some, well, you don't have to, but you have salary cap to spend everywhere tonight.
Right.
And if you play an entire outfield of the Rays, you may not even be able to spend your entire salary cap.
Yeah, I'm going to show you a lineup with an entire outfield of Rays
that
is going to spend all of my money.
I like it. I definitely like the Rays outfielders as well.
So Rays are number two. Is there anybody else you... I mean, like we said, you could stack any team you want.
Probably, we always go back to them, Toronto.
Yeah.
I like Toronto a lot against Nova.
That is a great lead into the BVP.
Yep.
We don't have a BVP lineup today.
No BVP lineup?
And I'm glad Chris isn't here, because whenever he asks for one, I say I always have one. There is literally not a shortstop playing tonight that has positive batter versus pitcher experience against the pitcher they're facing. So we can't make a lineup. But if you were going to make a lineup, like you just wanted to do just put some different shortstop in there, it would essentially be a Yankees-Blue Jays double stack. Jose Bautista against Nova, 8-for-23 with a dong, 1109 OPS. Josh Donaldson, 7-for-16 with a 971 OPS. E5, 10-for-30 with a dong and a 933 OPS. And then you move on to the Yankees side, and they have just absolutely, which it makes sense because this is such a bad park for Marco Estrada to pitch in.
Mm-hmm.
Starlin Castro, 12-for-27 with an 1131 OPS against Estrada. Jacoby Ellsbury, 6-for-17 with a 977. Brian McCann, 8-for-20. Mark Teixeira, 3 dongs in 9 plate appearances against Estrada. I mean, basically, you just play all the Yankees and all the Blue Jays, and then whoever has money left for a pitcher.
BVP or not, that's not a bad strategy tonight in a tournament.
Okay. So Mike believes in BVP.
I believe in it.
So this Dong Chasers thing, you're kind of getting out to a big lead.
That's good.
It's good for you.
It's good for me.
It's not for anyone else. My whole cheap strategy has not worked out very well.
Mm-hmm.
You get the first pick tonight. We don't have standings because Chris isn't here, and he probably hasn't updated them anyway.
Yeah, there's no way he has. He's too busy tweeting about Puig.
Yeah, he is firmly in support of not running out fly balls and also not talking to reporters, things that Chris really likes. So who's your dong pick tonight?
Josh Donaldson.
And that makes sense.
Yeah. It's $3,800 at Yankee Stadium. Sign me up.
Yes. Chris, surprisingly, is going to go with Giancarlo Stanton.
Shocking.
He has basically told us that Giancarlo's figured it out.
He did say that.
That he homered yesterday, and so the slump is officially over. And I can only assume that he's going to be in Chris's Dong Chaser pick until he's back over $4,000.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
I have learned nothing. I can't do it. I was going to go Mikey Matuk.
I know you were.
But we don't know for sure that he's in the lineup.
Yeah, and then it leaves you at 2K, and there may not be another $2,000 hitter in a lineup tonight.
Right. So I don't think I can do that.
You could take his teammate Taylor Motter.
Or Brandon Guyer or Steven Souza. I mean, if the Rays are going to hit some dongs tonight. But I'm gonna go with Paul Goldschmidt.
Okay.
I think he gets off the schneid against Jeff Locke. Locke is bad.
He is.
Especially against righties. So I'll take Goldie. We've got Goldie, Stanton, and Donaldson. I'm sure at 3,300, you're at least considering playing Giancarlo tonight. So does the fact that Chris chose him in Dong Chasers make you want to play him less?
Yes.
Because Chris has picked Stanton many times.
Yeah. There's no chance I'll play Stanton now that I know Chris is on him.
Okay. That makes perfect sense to me. Do you have a lineup that is not Iwakuma?
I do not. I have an Iwakuma lineup.
You give an Iwakuma lineup, and I will... I'll give a Junior Guerra lineup.
Okay. All right. So I've got Hisashi Iwakuma, Blake Swihart. I assume that he's going to catch tonight with Vasquez catching last night.
Right.
David Ortiz, Dustin Pedroia, Josh Donaldson, Taylor Motter, Mookie Betts, Brandon Guyer, and Mikey Mutchuk.
That's a very good lineup.
Thank you.
I like it a lot. I've kind of struggled with the fact that I have a perfect lineup.
Mm-hmm.
A lineup that would probably come close to 300 fantasy points tonight.
Okay.
But I'm $100 over the cap. So I'm going to give you my perfect lineup.
That you can't play.
And then you tell me where to save $100.
Perfect. I like that a lot.
Okay. So I've got Junior Guerra.
Okay.
Who is going to take his last two starts, the one where he went 6 innings with no runs allowed and the one where he struck out 11 and combine them.
Okay.
To strike out 11 in 6 scoreless innings.
I can't wait to see it.
Wellington Castillo, Paul Goldschmidt, Dustin Pedroia, Josh Donaldson, Xander Bogaerts, Mikey Mutchuk, Brandon Guyer, and Steven Souza. I have to say, now, there's one really easy way to save $100. And it sounds like the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I can downgrade from Brandon Guyer to Giancarlo.
Yeah.
And I guess, I mean, that would do it.
That would do it.
But the curse of Chris is real.
Yeah, the thing that I'm looking at is, could you maybe, are you in love with Xander? Or could you maybe jump all the way down from 4,400 to 37 with Machado and then upgrade somewhere else?
See, maybe I'm wrong.
Maybe you like Xander the
lot. I don't like Xander that much.
Okay.
I think
he's drastically overpriced.
Yes. I would agree with that. I feel like Colin McHugh, because his curveball is his best pitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like he should be much better against right-handed hitters than he is lefties.
I'm glad you mentioned that there. I really like McHugh in a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
But it's one of those where you could pitch McHugh and then in another lineup also stack the Orioles.
It turns out both over his career and this season, McHugh has an even split against righties and lefties.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and downgrade from Xander, and it's funny, I'm downgrading from Xander to Machado and getting a better player.
Mm-hmm.
And then that leaves me $600 to either upgrade Mutchuk, Guyer, or Souza.
Okay.
Which of those three guys do you like the least? Probably Souza?
Probably.
I mean, for the money.
Yeah, I think it's Souza.
Man.
There's really not much you can...
See, the pricing, that's what I'm saying. I had the perfect lineup.
Yeah, you did. I liked it.
And it was just like, I think FanDuel, their algorithm told them what the perfect lineup was before pricing.
Oh, okay.
And so they created it to where you could not play that one lineup.
Right. It makes sense.
They didn't want anybody to have that big of an advantage on the field.
Yeah.
So it's a real disappointment that I can't play the perfect lineup. What I'd probably do is leave Bogaerts in there and change Brandon Guyer to Giancarlo, because it sounds kind of dumb to play.
No, I think that's the move. That's what you do there. I wanted to mention one more thing about McHugh.
Yeah.
The Orioles, they do rank 5th in WOBA against right-handed pitching.
Right.
However, they strike out about 22, the strikeout rate's about 22.5%, and they don't walk all that much, less than 8%.
Right.
And stolen bases. They've only stolen 7 bases against right-handed pitching this season.
Okay.
So I do kind of like McHugh there. If you think he's not going to walk people, looking at that, they have a good K rate.
Right.
They're not going to steal bases. Like, I like the idea of McHugh tonight quite a bit now, the more that I look at it.
No, I kind of agree with you. We made a mistake by not talking about him. Okay, my DraftKings lineup actually does fit within the salary cap.
All right.
I didn't cheat on this one. So it is Iwakuma and Guerra as pitchers. Wellington Castillo, and I think Chris Davis is my favorite first baseman on DraftKings just because he's so much cheaper than all of those other guys. Goldschmidt isn't as discounted on DraftKings. Dustin Pedroia, Manny Machado, Xander Bogaerts, Jose Bautista, Mikey Matuk, and Mookie Betts.
I like it.
So it's a, listen, it's not a bad night to take your family out to dinner.
Right.
It's not a bad night to go work on your rim touches so you can make Heath dunk again.
There you go.
But I think we've given some pretty decent information in case you do want to play this slate. How important do you think it is on smaller slates? You're always looking for a few contrarian plays.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the guys we talked about are going to be fairly high owned. How many guys do you want to make sure you have in your lineup that are at least somewhat contrarian, like a Scooter or maybe a Goldschmidt or something like that in tournaments, obviously?
In tournaments, I'd say at least two.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this pitching in tournaments, at least, maybe if you're playing Guerra, then I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah.
Because I don't think his ownership will be as high as Iwakuma's.
Right.
But if you're playing Iwakuma, you need to have two or three because he's going to be the highest owned pitcher in tournaments too, isn't he?
I would think so, yeah.
Okay.
Unless something changes that I'm missing now that I discovered this afternoon, I am pretty sure Iwakuma will be the...
I mean, maybe people just look at how good Steven Wright's been this year and they just play him because they can still put good hitters in and the Rays are so cheap.
Yeah.
But I would expect that Iwakuma is going to be the highest owned. Hopefully, Chris will be done tweeting about Puig and Harvey, and he can come back to the podcast tomorrow. If he's not, Mike and I will both be here, and we'll see you then.
See ya.